Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM 1240 KQEN, covering all kinds of different topics around the Umpqua Valley. Final day of school for the Roseburg Public Schools, and what a better day to have Superintendent Jared Corden in and Board Chair Rod Cotton. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle.
Our pleasure. Thanks, Kyle.
And Rod Cotton enjoys doing these radio interviews so much that his last one, he determined, well, he just told me when he came in, was at KQEN's former location two locations ago, which means it had to be about 1985 or so. So every 40 years, we get you on the radio.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
That is pretty amazing. So I guess for both of you, because you'll have maybe different perspectives. Jared, first of all, what are some of the thoughts about the school year? How did you think things went this year?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm really pleased with a lot of things happening across our schools. I mean, you know, there's always these triumphs you have in the short and long term, and always some bumps too. We lost a kid this year, and all those things. Kind of, we lost a board member this year, and so in the totality, really pleased with so many things. Had a board meeting last night. I was telling the board every single building is making progress in our key areas, and so there's a lot of upward momentum and a lot of things. We've got work to do everywhere, but it's been a great overall. It's been a fantastic year. Really proud of the work our kids have done, our staff have done, and the boards to help shepherd. And of course, areas to improve. You're never satisfied. It's impossible to be satisfied with where you're at. We can always get better.
So, Rod, what's your perspective? I mean, you've been on the board for a long time.
Well, I'm finishing up my 30th year, and I told the board this year, actually last night, that this is probably my favorite year of serving on the board. Mm. The directors we have three new directors that came on in May, July 1st, and we just meshed so well together, and that's what made this year really well. We just got along so well. We didn't have all this outside interference like some districts have, and we were able to accomplish a lot of stuff, and a lot of that is because of our superintendent. He's just absolutely superb.
So Jared, what about like building improvements this year? Talk about some of the specifics. If people don't have kids in schools, they may not know necessarily what's been going on.
Yeah, again, a huge shout out to the board who's helped set a vision for where we need to go as a school district. You know, the board talks a lot about care, support, and instruction, and so much of that has to do with some immediate safety improvements that are needed. We were really fortunate with the ESSER funds, the COVID funds. Those run out in September. We tried to plan, wisely for those. So we were able to do a number of capital improvements with those. If you haven't been by the schools, the most immediate thing you'll see is some fencing. And overall, that's been really well received. It's been a bit of a challenge for people that didn't have a fence, maybe if you're adjacent to a school. But even people have been fantastic at understanding we need to make sure we can secure our buildings. There's also what we call vestibules, which helps with controlled access to make sure we know who's in school. So those capital projects are actually finishing up. We have a few more buildings that are currently working on Sunny Slope and Fullerton. We've invested in a bathroom facility at Hughcrest. We have a couple of seismic projects moving right now, both at Eastwood and at Winchester. And those are grants, competitive grants with the state. We just received another competitive grant for our vocational ed, our CTE building. Those are $2.5 million, what they call immediate occupancy grants. And so Business Up has done a great job in writing grants. And I think this is the new seismic grant puts us at about $17 million of seismic grants we've been able to acquire to do some upgrades. So we're just plinking along. I mean, we've got buildings that are aging, and there's some old buildings. We need to have conversations about what to do with those, but we're doing a good job of making improvements where we can, being strategic about that, making sure we can save for those and pay for those.
Talk about the softball field at the high school.
Yeah, so if people in the community haven't had a chance to get to a game or see that field. It's a great addition to the community. It's a really a great community asset we have now. So in this community, you know, we've got 6,000 or more kids, just school-age kids, so more than that. And there's only one synthetic field in the entire community, which is really lacking in terms of space. We were able to build another field. It's not just a softball field. It's a multi-use field. And it gives us another space for the community to use or kids to use. It's just north or just behind Finley Field and kind of shapes the contour of the river that comes in there. Softball kids were able to use it. It's been fantastic. It's a great addition. We're really excited to have that that field here in the community.
So, Rod, what's kind of the role of being a board chair?
It's like being a manager, setting agendas with the superintendents, making sure that you've kept your other directors informed, keeping up on top of if there's policy changes from OSBA, state law changes, running good board meetings, training your board folks about boardmanship, roles and responsibilities. I think that's why we get along so well and we've made such great progress because everybody's on the same page. So I think being a good manager and having strong leadership skills is important.
And probably having to deal with the fact that not everything that comes down from the state or federal level maybe not your preference, but yet it's the framework that you still have to work in.
That's a really good comment. What I like to tell folks that are thinking about running for school board or even first year school board is it's not about you. It's not about some of the things you may believe in. But when you're on a board, you should represent the community. And I think that's where we're at. You know, there's a lot of weird things going on in the country. And I think board members, our board understands roles and responsibilities and that it shouldn't really be political. You should be neutral. It's neutral in the aspect. It's a nonpartisan position. And we still have our own beliefs. But if they represent the community, then that's where we're at.
How many hours a week do you spend being board chair?
Well, it depends on your superintendent. It depends on I've over the years, it's like been a full-time job. Like, what the heck's going on here? But with Jared, it's, you know, a board chair might spend 10 hours, 15 hours. It depends on what activities. There's something going on every day. So it depends on what you want to partake in. And I kind of watch it, the amount of time I spend, because the superintendent is our only employee that we have. He's getting paid. It's not our job to run the day-to-day operations of the schools. So if you're spending a lot of time, there's an issue.
Do you find, though, that you enjoy the flexibility since you're retired from your career of being in this role and not having to juggle a job?
Oh, yeah. It's much easier. But when I was working, we made it work. And you have to have the folks that you work for, you really need to have their support so that they know, you know, I'm dedicated to my job, but I'm also I also have to work hard for the school district, or you shouldn't be a board member.
So, Jared, one of the things districts are dealing with is people exiting the field of education. I mean, that kind of ramped up during COVID. It seems like it's still an issue.
Yeah, we've done relatively well in this regard. COVID kind of threw a lot of things for a loop in the world. We've really worked hard to try to, you know, capitalize on having strong contracts in place, stability in place, making sure people feel really supported. I think the needs of, you know, the needs of children have changed a little bit, and what families need. There's a lot of expectations in this competitive world to make sure kids are getting everything they need. And so there's a lot of pressure on staff sometimes, particularly teachers and our classified staff, to do a lot of things that maybe we weren't doing as much, 15 or 20 years ago. And, you know, if you've been watching the news with schools lately, budgets and things have been a real hot topic. And lots of layoffs, a lot of people leaving the profession, you know, recently in Oregon because there's not money to pay people. And so I think that's just led to people questioning, do I really want to do this? And we've said, you know, really made an emphasis of this year to say we want people to be here. We want people to see their future here, to see stability here, to see this is such a great profession to work with young people and help shape those minds of the future. And so we've done pretty well staffing-wise in both retaining and recruiting people. And we feel like we've got a great community to live in and a definite purpose of being here. And so I know that's been a struggle for a lot of folks. And we're not perfect in that, but we've done pretty well in retaining and recruiting.
All right, we're going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back, looking at Roseburg Public Schools on this final day of the academic year. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246, a News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1. We're going to talk about getting ready for fire season with folks from the Douglas Forest Protective Association on tomorrow's program. It's a year-end look at Roseburg Public Schools today. Superintendent Jared Corden and Board Chair Rod Cotton in. And Jared, I wanted to ask about, you talked about teachers and people, you know, trying to encourage your staff, teachers and other staff as well, the assistants, et cetera. So what do you do in terms of, I know that for teachers, there are some things that are required professionally to develop, you know, but there are other things that are just sort of encouragement or things that you do to help people keep their focus. What, how do you address that?
Yeah, so we have a pretty aggressive professional learning plan. I'll just say this. I've worked in education for about, 25 years or so, and I've worked with the state and sometimes had to put up with the state on several things, both Department of Education and legislators at times. And when I say that, and they've been great in some support, but one thing I've learned is that oftentimes there's these top-down mandates that come with no support. It's always kind of been a frustration of mine. And so one thing that we're committed to, the board and the superintendent, is to make sure that we have a system of reciprocal accountability. Meaning, if we're going to ask you to do something, we're going to provide a pathway for you to do that. In fact, we're going to provide the pathway before we ask you. Then I feel like you can support the heck out of people. And we're a we gotcha school district, not a we've got you. We're not getting, you know, we're really there to support people. But also then come the expectations, and you can be unapologetic about your expectations around academics or support for kids when you create the path. So I find myself needing to be reciprocally accountable. So when we think about supporting staff, it's not just about where I think we need to go. It's about creating the pathway and structures so people can get the support they need to get there. And I think that gets back to building a culture where people feel like they belong. We've done quite a bit of work this year around several things, literacy, math instruction, work around attendance, and we've had to build some structures in to make sure you can get people time to do that. Now, if you take a look at like some other countries, for example, or even other districts around us, there are different structures to build time in for people to meet. Finland's a good example. They teach about half the time, and they plan and develop about half the time. Asian countries are about similar to that. So we've been in conversations, the board and I have, and with our associations and teachers about what do you need? More time would be fantastic. We just have to balance that with serving the needs of kids as well. So we've been pretty thoughtful and are continuing to move forward. We've made another investment in our teaching and learning department to make sure we're getting people the support they need in the classroom with teams. And so that's one thing we're trying to do a great job. Is it perfect? Probably not. But where we're at is really trying to provide the pathways for support before the demand comes. And I think that's been a healthy balance.
How are students doing with those kind of post-pandemic learning issues?
You know, we're several years away from the pandemic. People much smarter than me, you know, have kind of predicted that we'll be following these classes for a while. And I think there's some truth to that piece. Mm-hmm. But and I don't disagree with that at all. At the same time, you know, we have what we have, and the students we have, we're going to support. And so we don't talk a lot about the pandemic, not because we don't believe it happened or because we don't believe there are impacts of that, but we're taking a look at just meeting kids where they're at and moving things forward. So we don't really plan or think about necessarily like day-to-day the pandemic in terms of its, you know, the impacts. I think we're just taking a look at the one. It's the kid. It's the class. It's the grade level. It's where we're at academically. And then what do we need to do to adjust? There's always been room for improvement. I mean, they've hired a superintendent that has a ton of room for improvement. So improvement I'm okay with. We're more looking at like, you know, what do kids need and how do we get organized to get them what they need? And we don't probably talk a lot about the pandemic. Again, not because we don't think it didn't have an impact, because it did. But I think, you know, now that we're a couple years removed, it's really about not, that shouldn't be our focus. The focus should be where are kids at? Where do we need to get them? And how do we accelerate? And the simple equation for me is this. Every student in our school should get a year's worth of growth for years worth of school. And several students need more than a year's worth of growth for years worth of school. So even if you're ahead academically, how do we get you a year? If you're right where you need to be, how do we ensure you get a year? And we've got lots of kids with maybe math or literacy or what it might be that need more than a year worth of growth. So how do we make sure we can get that? And that's really been our focus. Because whether it's the pandemic or other issues, it could be a learning issue, family issues. We've had students that have moved multiple times in first grade, for example. Whatever the impact is we need to understand that a little bit, but it's kind of irrelevant because they're just where they're at. And so it's like, okay, let's just get to know that kid, take a look at what, you know, all the great things they're doing and what things they are accomplishing, and let's just get them excited and us excited about moving them forward.
So, Rod, let's talk about the budget. You guys had a big meeting last night in that regard. How are things looking for the district in terms of the past year, but looking forward as well?
Well, you know, we're a pretty conservative district when it comes to budgeting. And last night we approved the budget. The board, we had our budget hearing. And, you know, I could sit here and tell you that we always need more money. I mean, there's never enough money for public education. It's just the fact of life. But the 30 years that I've been on the board, we've always made it work, always have made it work. And we're moving forward for this school year. We've not had to cut programs. We've made some adjustments. We knew when we entered into new contract agreements with our work groups. And I'm very proud of that. Our team, our board of directors, is very proud of these contracts that we were able to provide for our employees. And but we were able to do that without having to come in and make wholesale cuts to our programs. And that's in part because when we got ESSER money, COVID money, basically, we didn't go out and spend it all on staff like some districts have done, and that's why they're millions of dollars in debt. We kind of put it aside knowing, you know, we need to do safety and security type stuff. So we were very, very careful what we spent, and we have a fabulous financial director, Cheryl Northam, that's been with us a long time, and that business department. We know where we're at, and so we're just a conservative community, the board, and we just don't go out and spend money. That we just try not to waste money. It's not us.
Got it. Less than a minute left, Jared. What are some of the things, really quick, that you're looking forward to for the fall?
Yeah, I mean, welcoming kids back will be great. We've got a you know, our strat plan, our strategic plan is really our North Star. So it's, you know, how do we make sure kids are getting the care they need, support they need? Graduation is a key indicator for us. Attendance is a key indicator. Math, literacy, and you know, taking care of kids are going to be our key areas, and those are going to be things we're going to be leaning into. You know, increasing partnerships with UCC comes to mind, and just continuing. We've got great momentum. It's just not losing any of that. Just moving forward in that. I really believe strongly this our school district will be a model for the state on an approach to really, really support kids and have high achievement.
Superintendent Jared Corden, Board Chair Rod Cotton. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. Thank you, Kyle.
1250 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.